Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. This show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, 1798Part2.org, and RepublicReview.org. Let me also say, I have just now opened up the phone lines. Got to do that. If that doesn't happen, then you can't call, and I hate telling you that you can call when you can't. So you can call now. Anyway, you are listening to the only show that is asserting the only constitutional solution to getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. Getting them to comply to the Constitution will basically remove and resolve well over 90% of all of the problems that we face individually as states and as a republic. So the number to call in is 215-867-8255. Again, that is 215-TOP-TALK. And I also have some pretty big news coming up, so I'm hoping that you stay tuned. I'm trying to do that film at 11 thing again. So just stay tuned. It's not going to be at the end, just like film at 11. This show is dedicated to supporting those state legislators who are willing to protect their citizens from federal tyranny, because as you know, that means that they're protecting all of us from federal tyranny. I am working on a breakdown, trying to be as concise and as short as possible in creating a set of bullets as to how we can support grassroots leaders and how grassroots leaders can literally turn around their central committee, their party at the local level and focus on the Constitution. It is a sad day when we realize that even in really good red conservative counties, that the party is more focused on the party than it is the Constitution. It's time we start putting the Constitution over the party, because in some respects, the party has been a big part of the problem, because the party at the national level has been selling us down river for too long. And so that big news that I have for you is I actually went and did more due diligence and research, and I'm really glad I did. I reached out to GoFundMe, and I reached out to Fundly, because I boiled it down to the two organizations or platforms for doing crowdfunding. And come to find out, GoFundMe is going to save us a lot of money in not having to pay for a platform fee. So, I mean, that's a good 5% fee savings right up front. And so I am working with them. I'm waiting to hear back from them. And it looks like I will not know until Monday whether I can get the campaign launched. So if you tune in on Monday, you may actually be able to go and check out the campaign as well as some of the support documents, because we're going to be launching the 1798part2.org website. And I'm looking for some help on that. Because it's tough enough for me to manage the podcast and getting the content written and so forth. And so I believe I've got a good solid patriot that is going to kind of help with the layout and the design of this 1798part2.org webpage. We're also going to be using the reclaimingtherepublic.org webpage, but that is going to be more of a as things are pulling together type of stuff. The battle map is really going to be the 1798part2.org website. I hope that's making sense. If it doesn't, I will actually delineate all of this on both the MobiusStripPress.com, so all the websites will have better insights on what these other websites are doing. And why I'm trying to compartmentalize these is because MobiusStripPress.com is where you can look at my art, my articles, and my content that I write. My three books are there. The two books that have been published are available for purchase and where you can purchase those and so forth. I also have the reclaimingtherepublic.org, which is where my podcasts are, and it is the content page of what I am doing here that is basically for free, that type of stuff. Not that there isn't some good content on MobiusStripPress.com, but most of that stuff is for sale. I've got my executive summaries that are coming out that will be for sale as well. So there's different ways you can be able to support us. One of those ways is by buying my content. And if you actually donate, then some of that, you'll get that content for free as well. We will work out those tiers as to what, you know, how much you have to donate to get a set of books and so forth. That being said, I am looking forward to working with a lot of different organizations. As a matter of fact, I will be putting on this campaign page, as well as on the 1798 campaign, an endorsement page of those people who are endorsing this effort. I think that's really important that we recognize those who are helping us and how you can go directly to them and get that information, because they already have a network of people. I think I've said this before. I'm not trying to create an organization. I'm trying to interface with organizations and helping them all come to the same point of core principles and values. In other words, constitutional compliance, and fundamentally based on individual liberty and individual sovereignty, those two principles that were the primary principles of our framers. So with that, I hope that's good news, and I actually hope that we have a good, strong following. Because in the long run, this campaign, this crowdfunding campaign, is going to be a long haul. We're not going to be able to get everything we need in this coming election. The intent is to initiate the dialogue and all of a sudden bring the attention to everybody else. My intent in 2019 is what I call time for cancer education, because there's going to be a lot of people that are going to go, really? We can do that? The states have that kind of authority? Really? And people are going to be shocked at how poorly they've been taught and what they understand of regarding their constitution and their government. So that'll be a good thing, because people are going to go through a paradigm shift. I think anybody that understands the constitution to a basic degree, that it's a contract and it's not being followed, then those people really are going through a paradigm shift as they learn about this auditing process and so forth. It's just literally more of a broadening of their paradigm. It's something that you really haven't even thought of. Wow, that's interesting. And then when you look at what Madison and Jefferson did in 1798, that's why the 1798part2.org, we're doing exactly what they did. What they did was they went to the states of Virginia and Kentucky, and they taught those legislatures what they needed to do. They helped them draft those resolutions. Technically, they probably wrote them. But these gentlemen at that point in time in the state legislatures were schooled by two of the greatest in our history, that they understood that the states are the principal stakeholders of the contract and have this oversight and control over that contract. And so that's what I'm doing. That's what I'm getting many other leaders in different states. If you're in a state and you want to, you know, step up and become a part of this, I'm groveling a little early maybe, but if you want to be a part of this, then hit me up on Facebook or hit me up with an email, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org, and we can get together and talk about, you know, are you the only one in that state? If not, then I will introduce you to somebody else, and I will let you two start working together. Because as we start working together, what does that do? What's that create? That creates synergy. There's that buzzword that people hate. Yes, but synergy is a byproduct of people working together and elevating their output, or what they're doing, at a much greater level than they could do by themselves individually. And so anyway, I probably did a bad job in explaining that to you, because it's synergy is giving you a better output. And I think is important. I'll give you a good example of this. The Beatles, all four Beatles had their own solo record or their solo pursuits, but not if you combined what they did in their solo work compared to what they did in their collective work. Their collective work as the Beatles outshined tenfold what they were able to do as solo artists. And that's because of the synergy that the four of them created. And so that's why they were able to reach at a much higher level in working together and collaborating. And that's what we can do as well. So with that, I did scan the news. And believe it or not, there is no sign of the federal government disbanding any of its roles, responsibilities, or powers, and therefore the tyranny will persist unless we do something about it. And that's why this show exists, and that's why I am taking the painful process of reading founding documents to you and what these great minds were telling those people and even telling us today, the importance of what they did, what we need to do, how we need to confine ourselves, and so forth. And that's why we're going to get into the cod fishery bounties or the payment of bounties for the cod fisheries in just a few. I do have an open question, but I also see that I'm going to be hitting a hard break. So I will get into the question and open for calls as soon as we come back from the hard break. So please stay tuned and we will be back and I will hopefully not bore you as I go through these bounties for the payments of cod fisheries in just a few minutes. So please stay tuned. Thank you very much. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with Republic Review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as Republic Review. Please read my argument for Republic Review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And as I was just getting ready to go through that standing question, because it's Friday, and I actually don't go through the standing question on Friday. If you have a question, and as a matter of fact, let me kind of take a guard down here. There are probably several people out there that know nitinoids or little facts and or other details in great detail, maybe better than me, regarding the Constitution. And so you will find that maybe somebody will call in, or I'm talking to somebody else that has done a lot of extensive work on other things that I may not know. My focus was on what was the Constitution. How did the framers, when they were going through the contract negotiations or the compact negotiations at the state level, how did they sell it? Did they sell it to say, hey, we're going to create this centralized government that's going to be able to pull in all the powers from the states and dissolve the states and be able to provide everything? And I'm telling you that that's not at all how it was sold. It was sold that it was limited and defined, and that goes, it flies in the face of everything we've been taught. That's been my forte. That's been my focus. Along the way, I've learned a lot about what, you know, what the Constitution means, what these clauses mean, because they actually defined it in this process. But there may be some other things. And so don't worry. Don't feel like maybe I'll land-based you because you know something I don't. But I will, you know, be civil as long as you're civil. But you will find, as I talk to other Constitution scholars, that there's a lot of people that know a lot of details about stuff that, not that I didn't bother to take that time, I only have so much time. And my pursuit was trying to solve the problem, because the problem is that the federal government's not compliant to the Constitution. And I wanted to know how it is we got into this situation and how we can fix this. I was very myopic in my pursuit. And it kind of goes down to, and I hate to, I don't want to be, you know, getting in religion, but there are those scriptures that say, knock and ye shall find, ask and it shall be given unto you. And I was asking very specific questions. I was searching for very specific answers. And I will tell you that there is no doubt in my mind that the internet has been the mechanism of educating me and a lot of people, even though people look at how much evil is on the internet today. The internet is actually providing a great resource and a great tool for all sorts of people, whether that be for religious purposes, proclaiming Christ lives and all of that type of stuff, or whether it be for this type of thing in fixing government and government controls, those types of things. I will tell you that, yeah, you can find evil and good in almost everything, but there's no doubt in my mind that we are in the midst, and I recognize this even long before I, you know, found the answers. I recognized in the 90s that an awakening had begun, because in the 80s, I was just fuming at how oblivious everybody was to the war that had been, you know, waged and was in the process of being waged against the Constitution, against conservatism and so forth, because I was recognizing that the homosexual war was raging very strong, because you could tell in the media, when you watch television programming, it seemed like every television program was promoting it. And in the 70s, it was more focused on racism. What happened? Why they didn't fix the racism problem. What happened was they realized how strong of an influence the media really was, and they actually started using it to harp a very specific agenda. And that specific agenda was sexualizing America and sexualizing our society. And that's exactly what's happened. And that's why you look today, why people are just, you know, completely enabled and feel like they're entitled to be anything that they want to be. And that's why this transgender movement has just taken off, because some people, you know, they've convinced themselves that they're, you know, somebody else trapped in a body that they're not. Anyway, I forgive me for digressing. The floor is yours. If you have a question, by all means, we do not have to necessarily discuss the authority or where does that authority come from regarding land reservations and so forth. But I also wanted to get into this one little facet. If you want to get involved in converting, taking back your local community and state, and working at that local level, you have to get involved in the party. So you have to become a PCO. You have to start working with others. You have to start developing a rapport and focusing on the Constitution. Because you're going to be shocked when you go into your central committee. You're going to be shocked when you're working with all of these different political leadership, how they're not focused and how they don't really know the Constitution that well. I mean, they'll tell you they do, but they really don't. And when you actually start telling them about Republic Review and these types of things, they'll kind of look at you with this, you know, this deer caught in the headlights kind of stare, like, huh? And you have some work to do. The other focus is getting businesses on board. We have to, the Revolutionary War was not fought just by people. Businesses and people had to come together, and they all contributed to some degree to fight that war. And I'll tell you what, it was that war languished on because people were kind of tight and stingy with what they were given. I mean, go look and read what Jefferson went through while he was in Valley Forge. They practically starved and froze to death because people were not contributing and or supplying the army with what it needed during winter quarters. And so, anyway, we have that same problem today. And if we're not going to wake up and understand what it's going to take back our liberties, then we've got some educating to do. Everyone has a responsibility, and I want to emphasize this. Everyone has a responsibility in self-governance. It's that first part, right? Self, that means you. That means me. All of us have a responsibility in self-governance, and that even includes business. If you abdicate your responsibility, then we will be oppressed by tyranny. And that's exactly what happens when we step aside from what we should be doing in our self-governance. If we are not active in self-governance, then somebody else is going to come along and they're going to start assuming more controls and more power. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to create a national level to a local level and working with you in creating like a secret consortium of businesses who want to help but are afraid of being attacked or being called out and so forth. So what we have to do is we have to create this front to where individuals and or businesses can contribute. They can pay directly, or they can go into crowdfunding, or, you know, there's ways of finding out where that money comes from if you're a 501c3 or a nonprofit. However, if you are a profit-based organization like myself, then I don't necessarily have to tell you who. I just have to report how much money I received, and I basically can show my revenues and my outflows, and it's that simple. You got to remember, Washington did not have to struggle with a 501c3 issue, right? As a matter of fact, people, when they contributed to the wartime effort, it wasn't based on whether they were going to be able to write this off at the end of the year. They knew that they had a moral and sacred responsibility in protecting their sovereignty and their liberty, because they knew that Britain had already started unleashing tyranny against them, and it was only going to get worse because we declared independence. This was a no-turnaround situation. or there would have been a lot of people killed and dragged off to jail and so forth. And the states and colony, it would have been a completely different history had not the Lord intervened, because there was just no way Washington would have won some of those battles, or at least survived some of those battles and skirmishes in New York and in Boston and so forth, had the Lord not intervened. And so I'm going to tell you that we are at war, and we have been at war for a very long time. I even write in my book that this war started in Adam and Eve's time. We have two basic ideologies that are opposing each other. One of subjugation and force, forcing people to live under control, and individual liberty and sovereignty. As you can tell, I'm up at a hard break, but when we come back, I'm going to wrap this up and we're going to go straight into these bounty debates with Madison. So please stay tuned and we will find elucidations and clarifications of what Madison had meant by the General Welfare Clause. We'll be right back. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
And so, as I was saying, we are at war with a very evil ideology that wants to subjugate us, that wants to control thought and ensure that a common narrative is being followed and stated. If you don't join the Borg, then you are useless and you better be sent off to a FEMA camp. And I can tell you that a lot of these minions or I should say pawns, like Maxine Waters, Nancy Pelosi, Elizabeth Warren, the Clintons, the entire Clinton clan. All of these are actually out there calling for the real minions, those people out there, to kick it up a notch and, you know, be in our face and attacking and so forth. We've seen this week. They've been doing this, and they've been more and more emboldened since the 90s, since David Rockefeller spilled the beans in, what, 91 or 92, that, yeah, he's been behind this huge conspiracy. When he came out of the closet on that, that means that they believe that they have progressed so far that there is no stopping them. And I'm telling you that they had no vision, they had no idea that a plan like Republic Review would come forward. It is the only plan that will rip away from them their controls and power over our republic. If you want to take our republic back, then we have to start working together. And so setting up these consortiums are going to be very critical. We need people of the highest caliber of integrity in standing up, because I can't necessarily do this all by myself. I need other people. We need to work together. And I know you're out there. I do know that, because I'm getting people, and I've got somebody in Texas. I've got somebody in Idaho. I've got people in California. I have people in different states. I know there are good people. Like I said, the awakening was recognized by me and other people of the 90s. Good old Clinton's brought out the old awakening. I want you to know that you can contribute one good thing to the Clintons, that they were the ones that brought on the awakening. Because people recognize that our government, with Hillary Care, hit the streets and was being, you know, postulated around that the government was going to take over health care. That's when we knew, and that's when people started getting motivated. Not a lot and not enough people. And as a matter of fact, what's really sad is the doctors didn't recognize the threat and didn't at that point take, you know, cognitive action and start supporting these things to getting the government out of healthcare. Because any doctor that cares about their patient and the welfare, the health and medical welfare of their patients, they know that government healthcare is the an antithesis. It is the opposite of what is best for their patients, because now the government has become a party in this process. Anyway, so I need your help. And if you're interested in joining, again, this is a long grovel, isn't it? But if you're interested in joining, send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org or send me a direct message on Facebook. You can even tweet to me. I have, Town Crier News or Moby Strip News. If you go to my MobyStripPress.com, I have a link straight to my Twitter account. I forget what it is, but because I don't tweet that often, but you can also tweet me and I will get that notice and go, oh, okay. Because I do get the email notices when somebody sends me a direct tweet. So anywho, let me kind of move on, and I don't want to necessarily reiterate, you know, why I'm focused on the states. I hope you get it by now, but I will reiterate it from time to time so people understand the power that the states possess. And as I always say, or I try to say, that if we're not focused on the Constitution and centering ourselves on the Constitution and fighting our battles, then we risk almost certainty that we will lose these battles. That is why we have to use the Constitution as our weapon and our shield in all of our battles. I want to also state this, because I want you to think, when I start reading cited founding documents, I want you to ask yourself, are the words that the framers are telling us in these documents the words of lies and deceit? Or have we been lied to and deceived by our professors, our education system, our lawyers, so forth and so on? Who has been lying to us? Because the answer will come when you really start pondering, because the consistency and the empirical data cannot be taken away. The facts are the facts, and there is a huge consistency amongst the framers. There is only one outlier that I have found, and that is Hamilton, Alexander Hamilton. was a pernicious person that was self-aggrandizing in whatever role it was, and his real desire was to create a very powerful central government. He wanted to have a monarch and so forth. He did not like what was agreed upon, and that's why he did everything he could to subvert and undermine the Constitution after he helped ratify it. So the only thing that you can basically follow, and you can actually see his doublespeak in some of the Federalist Papers, I point that out, but you can only follow those things when he was testifying of an assurity in the Federalist Papers and during the ratification debates, what the Constitution really was, then that is it. Because as he speaks afterwards, he is obviously going against everything that he and the rest of the framers said, because there was harmony. And you can find that harmony when you read those ratification debates for yourself. Let me take off from where I was. And this is Madison saying, "I, sir, have always conceived, I believe those who proposed the Constitution conceived, and it is still even more fully known and more material to observe, that those who ratified the Constitution conceived that this is not an indefinite government. Its powers, from the general terms prefixed it to the specified powers, but a limited government tied down to specified powers, which explain and define the general terms. The gentlemen who contended for a contrary doctrine are surely not aware of the consequences which flow from it, and which they must either admit or give up their doctrine." And so, as I was saying yesterday, I'm taking a quick break here. As I was saying yesterday, Madison uses this dialogue to come up with what he believed would be the most egregious overreach of the federal government. And that was education, welfare, healthcare, and those types of things. Because everybody recognized that the federal government had no role, there was no moral role for the federal government to be involved in that type of thing. So he goes on and says, "It will follow in the first place that if the terms be taken in the broad sense they maintain, the particular powers afterwards so carefully and distinctly enumerated would be without meaning and must go for nothing. It would be absurd to say first that Congress may do what they please and then that they may do this or that particular thing." Let me stop there. If you understand that the general health or the general welfare and defense clause at the very beginning of Article 1, Section 8, which is kind of like a preamble to the enumerated powers, what he's saying is that's all they would have had to have written. They didn't need to create. He says if it was implied that they had these types of general powers, then they just wasted paper in creating a facade of defined powers. And the preamble was literally just trying to state the harmony in ensuring that there would be a uniformity amongst all the states, that their general welfare based upon the enumerated powers would be maintained by the federal government. And so he goes on and says, "After giving Congress power to raise money and apply it to all purposes which they may pronounce necessary to the general welfare, it would be absurd to say the least to superadd a power to raise armies, to provide fleets, and etc. In fact, the meaning of the general terms in question must either be sought in subsequent enumerations which limits and details them, or they convert the government to one limited, as hitherto supposed, to the enumerated powers into a government without any limits at all." And that was the clarity right there, because as they went through the ratification debates, and that's why he said at the very beginning when I said, you know, when he said, "I conceived and I believe those who proposed the Constitution or the authors of the Constitution conceived," and even more material, "those who ratified the Constitution conceived that it was a limited government," because that's what they were told. That is how it was defined, period. And so I've got more for you, but this is good stuff. And this is stuff that we need to take time and read so that you have a profound understanding of how limited that federal government really is, based upon the Constitution, not based upon somebody's mad interpretations. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VONTRACYDDS.com. Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Moby Strip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Moby Strip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so I want to kind of cut through a lot of this, and I don't want to skip anything. And so it's important that I continue on, because what I just described, the preface or the preamble. And Madison goes into it here, and he says, because this is the next thing he says in this debate, he says, "It is to be recollected that the terms common defense and general welfare, as here used, are not novel terms first introduced into this Constitution. They are terms familiar in their construction and well known to the people of America. They are repeatedly found in the old Articles of Confederation, where, although they are susceptible of as great latitude as can be given them by the context here, it was never supposed or pretended that they conveyed any such power as is now assigned to them," and I'm going to go off here, "by these idiots that were basically saying we can use this to start, you know, using the public purse to paying for corporate welfare, because that's what these bounties would have done. On the contrary, it was," and this is Madison again, "on the contrary, it was considered as clear and certain
that the old Congress was limited to the enumerated powers and that the enumeration limited and explained the general terms. I would ask the gentlemen themselves whether it was supposed or suspected that the old Congress could give away the money of the states in bounties to encourage out agriculture or for any other purpose they pleased. If such a power had been proposed by that body, it would have been much less impotent or have borne a very different character from that universally ascribed to it. The novel idea now annexed to those terms and never before entertained by the friends or enemies of government, will have a further consequence which cannot be taken into the view of the gentlemen. Their construction would not only give Congress the complete legislative power I have stated, it would do more. It would supersede all the restrictions understood at present to lie on their power and respect to a judiciary. It would put in the power of Congress to establish courts throughout the United States with cognizance of suits between citizens and citizens and in all cases whatsoever. So this is where he's going down this elaborate road of, you know, what kind of mayhem would happen if we followed that construction of the general welfare, the general defense and welfare clause, or the preamble. This, sir, seems to demonstrate, for if the clause in question really authorizes Congress to do whatever they think fit, provided it be for the general welfare of which they are to judge and money can be applied to it, Congress must have power to create and support a judiciary establishment with a jurisdiction extending to all cases favorable in their opinion to the general welfare, in the same manner as they have power to pass laws and apply money, providing in all other way of the general welfare. I shall be reminded, perhaps, that according to the terms of the Constitution, the judicial power is to extend to certain cases only, not to all cases. I'm going to stop right here. As it says in the Constitution, and as I've been saying, that the jurisdiction of the Supreme Court and the federal government is limited to the enumerated powers within the Constitution and within constitutionally ratified treaties, period. That's exactly what Article 3, Section 2 states. It has never been amended to granting them all of this jurisdiction that they have usurped and taken. So anyway, let me go on. And it says, but this circumstance can have no effect in the argument, it being presupposed by the gentleman that the specification of certain objects does not limit the import of the general terms. Taking these terms as an abstract and indefinite grant of power, they compromise all the objects of legislative regulation, as well such as fall under the judiciary article in the Constitution, as those falling immediately under the legislative article. And if the partial enumeration of objects in the legislative article does not, as these gentlemen contend, limit the general power, neither will it be limited by the partial enumeration of objects in the judicial article. See, he's just basically saying as soon as you make that one clause, this super powerful clause for the general welfare and defense, then they could start assuming all sorts of powers. And that was never the intent. And he's clarifying all of this. This stuff, I can't make this stuff up. This is the death knell to the progressives, because it clearly delineates the hard limitations within the Constitution. And he goes on and says, these are consequences, sir, still more extensive, because this is where I think he goes into the welfare and education and so forth. These are consequences, sir, still more extensive, which, as they follow clearly from the doctrine combated, must either be admitted or the doctrine must be given up. if Congress can apply money indefinitely to the general welfare and are the sole and supreme judges of the general welfare, they may take the care of religion into their own hands. And I'm sure everybody went, they may establish teachers in every state. And you could just imagine every single, you know, time he says something that, you know, everybody's at a gasp. County and parish, and pay them out of the public treasury. They may take into their own hands the education of children, establishing in like manner schools throughout the Union. They may assume the provision for the poor. They may undertake the regulation of all roads, then post roads. In short, everything from the highest objects of state legislation down to the most minute object of police would be thrown under the power of Congress, for every object I have mentioned would admit the application of money and might be called, if Congress pleased, provisions for the general welfare. Isn't that powerful? You need to be very familiar with this document, just like his bonus bills and just like his property. I mean, this, I bow to the insightfulness and the eloquence of his words. And I go on. The language held in various discussions of this House is a proof that the doctrine in question was never entertained by this body. Arguments, whatever the subject would permit, have constantly been drawn from the peculiar nature of this government as limited to certain enumerated powers, instead of extending, like other governments, to all cases not particularly excepted. In a very late instance, I mean, the debate on the representation bill, it would be remembered that an argument must be, particularly by a gentleman from Massachusetts, against the ratio of 1 for 30,000, was that this government was unlike the state governments, which had an indefinite variety of objects within their power, that it had a small number of objects only to attend to. Therefore, the smaller number of representatives would be sufficient to administer it. And I'm looking, I got a minute and a half, and I've got more to go through than I can cover in a minute and a half. So what I will do is I'm going to cover the rest of this, but I would ask that you go look up this bounty payments for cod fisheries. This was 6 February 1792, and these were the debates in Congress where Livingston proposed this idea of using the general welfare clause as the justification for paying these bounties, and Madison stepped forward and schooled that thought and Congress. And like I said, I could just hear everybody going, oh, did you hear that? Oh, then we could take over religion. And everybody was probably enthralled at how he managed this argument and this debate, because the man knew the Constitution. He was the one that defined it in the Virginia ratification debates with a several other Federalists. And so it is important that we educate ourselves so that we can move forward to clearly state that we have a hard, fast contract and a very limited federal government. So I'm about to say farewell and have a great weekend to those on the terrestrial airwaves. Next week, I'm actually going to be signing off at this point because I'm going to be moving one of my advertisers or promos to the very end of the hour. That way, I don't have two goodbyes, so I've got to do some fixings. But please hang on, and I will give you what we're going to cover next week as well. Have a great weekend on Terrestrial Airwaves. And so I hope that going through this in this kind of detail really helps. And I hope that it inspires you to pick this stuff up. I hope it also motivates you to actually decide, I am in. I am going to save our liberties and our sovereignty and call out the federal government for usurping the state's authority and powers and the individual sovereignties of the citizens of each state. as they've been pitting us against each other and we've been manipulated all this time. It is time to stand up. We have the ability to do this, and that's what this show is all about. And that's why we have to focus on the state legislators. I am G.R. Mobley. I'm Reclaiming the Republic, and with your help, we will be able to do this. So Godspeed, and we will see you next week right here. Thank you very much.